Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
If we read the Bible, when we read the Bible, I trust it's when. And if you haven't got a Bible, it's really well worth getting hold of one. Because if you read the Bible, you read about possibilities. You read about what God can do. And you read also about what God can do through people. And when you read those things, it kind of makes you feel like you're sitting on a mountaintop somewhere. And your perspective changes on the earth. It's like everything kind of that was blurred and difficult becomes clear. When you read the Bible, just like there's this mountaintop experience of seeing who God really is and what God really wants to do. And the Bible is full of promises. And every promise is full of possibilities for people who will believe them and take hold of them. And these promises, they're just mind-blowing sometimes. They should always make us go, wow. We shouldn't get so used to them that we don't lose the wow factor of really what we read in the Bible, of what God's word says he wants to do here on earth. And, you know, this mountaintop experience, whenever I read about Jesus going around healing all who were sick, all who were oppressed of the devil, healing all, that's a mountaintop. That's a clear view. Jesus wants to heal all. That's the clear view and perspective. But I don't know, and I'm sure it is your experience, but sometimes I feel like I'm in a valley and what I see in the mountain isn't really the reality of what I'm seeing down here in my everyday life and existence. It's not that I haven't seen some amazing and have some amazing mountaintop experiences, and we've just read some praise reports. They're mountaintop experiences here on earth. The miracles and the signs that Jesus really is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he is still doing the same things. And that's why we have praise reports, because they testify about Jesus doing the same things today in the earth. They're so encouraging. But sometimes I'm not totally encouraged by what I see in and through my life. I might meet a situation or a person, and I might be like the disciples, and I love that the gospel actually has an account in Matthew 17, and you'll also read it in Mark 9, where the disciples were struggling in the valley, really, trying to get somebody healed. And they're praying hard, and they're rebuking hard, and they're probably confessing hard, but it's getting hard. Because nothing much is happening. They're not seeing what they saw Jesus do, and they're not seeing what they knew his will was. And in this kind of valley scene, and I've been in it sometimes where I've prayed for somebody and left sad and disappointed. Has anybody ever prayed for somebody and you've left still sad and disappointed? In fact, probably the people who were so hoping that God would answer your prayer are also sad and disappointed and left a little bit in the doldrums and a little bit in a valley. And in the story, we read in Matthew 17, Jesus actually was on the mountain while the disciples were in the valley. And when he comes down, when Jesus comes onto the scene, everything changes. It's like suddenly the person of Jesus is there. And the disciples are arguing with religious people who, religious people will always fight healing. They'll always say, God doesn't heal today. and the Holy Spirit and the true church say, God does, and he's the same, but I'm not doing something perfectly right yet. God's standard hasn't changed. It's just something needs adjusting on, something needs to happen in me for more to happen. So God is never the problem. We can't start to preach the valley. We must preach the mountaintop and raise our faith to come up to what God says, rather than start to build a doctrine on valley experiences. Okay, so Jesus comes on the scene, and actually you can turn there if you like, if you want to look at Matthew chapter 17, to these sad, fed up, didn't work. Oh, I might go back fishing. I'm better at my work than healing. I'd rather have a day job than heal the sick. Hello? Has anybody ever backed off healing the sick because of an experience? I think we've all experienced the same things that these disciples did. And so Jesus comes down, and without much fuss, just a little conversation with the dad, he heals the boy. The boy gets completely delivered and healed. And in verse 19, the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? Why didn't it happen when I did it? Jesus loves honesty. He doesn't love it that we kind of say, well, we are faith people, but we're not seeing the same things. So they asked Jesus, and I like it that they asked Jesus because they'll always get the truth from him. Why couldn't we drive it out? And he replied, because you have so little faith. So he's actually saying the issue is what you currently have, and it's little faith. And then he says, I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you don't need a truckload. You don't need to make yourself feel that you're kind of got so much now you're ready. You only need a tiny bit of true faith. A tiny bit of true faith will move the mountain. And what's he talking about? It will move the mountain of sickness or demonic affliction in this boy you were trying to heal. It will change the results. And so he says, I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Now, the disciples weren't totally inexperienced in seeing miracles. They had seen Jesus do some miracles themselves. And many of you here today have seen Jesus work a miracle in people's lives. Something that makes people stand there and go, wow, that's God. I can't deny it. That is actually a miracle, because nobody could do what we've seen happen. But it's interesting that your history of faith isn't going to get you through the current challenges. It's not that they hadn't got faith before, but what was needed was that they needed something fresh now. They needed a fresh faith, a new impartation of faith. They needed something from God now that gave them what they needed to move the mountain that wasn't moving with as much puffing, panting, shouting, praying they were trying to do. And, you know, I can always tell when I'm not in faith, life becomes a struggle. It becomes hard work. I try and try and try, but don't succeed. Don't succeed. Don't succeed. I end up with nothing happening. And I understand, really, that faith is not supposed to be a struggle for God's people. But it only becomes a struggle when we don't have it. But it's not supposed to be hard work. Breathe, breathe. It's not supposed to be something we're going, ah, I need faith. And some people get mad at you even by preaching this kind of message, but they don't understand actually that it's not something we've got to struggle at getting. It's something that God wants to give us. I don't think we really understand faith sometimes. And I believe that all of my life I'm going to grow in my understanding of truly what Jesus means when a little mustard seed will heal somebody who is so tormented and desperate that everybody will look at them and say, thank God. The parents will say, my kid's well. Come on. This is where we must be in this generation of people who are seeing the same works as Jesus. But we must understand how it is that you and I can receive faith. A faith that doesn't just work for healing. It works for every area of your life. It works for a family situation. It works for provision, either of job or your desperate need of finances. It works in loneliness. It works in problems, unsolvable problems. Faith can actually transform everything. And all we need is a little bit of it, and it will move a lot of trouble. And so we must understand really what faith is. And in Ephesians, you look with me to Ephesians, to the Word of God, what the Word of God says about faith. I love this subject. I think probably, as you well know, it's one of my favorite subjects. Well, Jesus is my favorite subject. But how we can receive faith and how God really wants you to receive faith that will overcome the world. In Ephesians chapter 2, it speaks really about salvation, that Jesus came to save us, and for those who believe in him, he makes children of God, and he says that we are saved. We're saved from our sin, and we're also saved from hell. And an eternal destination in hell. But how does this happen? In verse 8 it says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Love that. It is by grace. Now, grace is something we understand as Christians. It's one of the most important words to us. Because it means that you and I couldn't earn our salvation. We couldn't earn forgiveness with God. We couldn't earn being accepted. But God, in his grace, gave it to us. So grace is really the unearned, unworked for favor and blessing of God given. So by grace, you have been saved. So in other words, you did not make salvation happen. You received it as a gift, as a divine gift from God. So by grace, you have been saved. And then it says through faith. The grace came into your life the moment you heard God's truth about what Jesus has done for you. And you believed. God gave you the ability to believe in Jesus. You didn't even give yourself the ability to believe. Isn't that amazing? So faith didn't come from you. faith is a gift from God, faith for salvation and for everything. God gives faith. I think this is so important if we're to understand how to move mountains. It's so important that we come to the end of trying to believe. It's so important that we don't struggle in praying and not getting answers. And Jesus wants us to understand today, faith is a gift. And it comes because of his grace. And grace means God giving everything to those who don't deserve it. So I never deserved to believe, but God in his grace gave me faith to be saved. I am a work totally of God's grace. I'm not a self-work. God saved me. And anything that I can do for him, he gave me the faith to do it. Hello? Yeah, I didn't make it happen. So it's all a work of God's grace. In John chapter 1, let's just look in the Gospel of John. Do you want to receive faith? I want to receive faith for everything that I need. I want to receive faith for everything that I need. And we have to understand how to receive faith. God loves you so much that he doesn't want you struggling. It's brilliant. You are so on his heart and his mind. And he doesn't want you to misunderstand because you'll get disappointed. But if we understand and we understand how to receive faith, then we're going to get so encouraged. And you will become a contagious believer. Not somebody walking around saying, well, I prayed and it didn't work. I don't know why it didn't work. But you'll be somebody who's like, look, let me encourage you. This is what happened. And you'll give testimony about how God gave you the faith to see the miracle that you're currently living in. In John chapter 1 and verse 16, this is speaking about Jesus. From the fullness, or out of his fullness, we have received grace. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. So, if you would say that I as an individual am full of grace, that would mean that whatever I have, I would want you to have. Every benefit that I can, I want to give you. Okay? But Jesus is full of grace. And he wants to give you his grace. So everything that he has, he wants you to actually have an experience. Now we know that because he lives in the heart or spirit of a believer, Christ dwells in us. We already have everything. But we also know that we are told to receive grace for every day. And while we have his fullness, we need to receive from his fullness. Now the word I want you to really highlight is receive. Out of his fullness, we all receive. We all receive. Jesus has everything you ever will ever need. But it comes to us before it happens in our experience. And it comes to us because of his grace. One of the translations about this grace upon grace, the Amplified said, from his fullness we've all received grace upon grace, gift upon gift, blessing upon blessing. Now that's not a bad picture about being a Christian. We walk around saying, I've got another dose of grace. I've had another gift from God. I'm in another blessing from being a Christian. So the translation actually I like is grace piled upon grace. Now, I like to think about puddings. I like puddings. And I like to think about piling on ice cream and clotted cream. And not piling on the weight. Piling on a plate. I love to see Pastor Michael eat a pudding. It's an education. It's an education in itself. He will want ice cream, cream, and custard. Particularly custard. So he will want to pour on, pile on custard. And he'll want to pile on and keep piling on. Now, in our experiences, I tell you, we're going to have a custard leaving party. That's what it is. I've had a word. Grace piled upon grace. So what is God saying? It means that we need to continually receive something fresh from God that he is wanting to give us. And the gift that when we have challenges in life and we need answered prayer, the first thing that you need is this graced gift of faith. Because faith comes before you even ask for God to do something. We need faith first. And then if we have faith, then we can pray and believe that we receive it. See, I think we're looking for a quick fix. We're looking for answers. We want the mountains moved immediately. But God's saying, let's go back to really receiving faith, and then you will see the answers. You will see the mountains moved. But if we need to understand that if we receive faith first, and faith is always going to happen in your heart. It's always in the hidden things. It's in your heart. You receive faith. Faith is always of the heart, not of the mind. Not just because you mentally can see what God wants to do. It's because God puts a deposit of faith in your heart. And so faith comes first. We receive. Now, we need to receive in an attitude of being free from shame and from guilt and from accusation. Like a child who totally expects their parent to bless them. Who comes, wakes up every morning and says, well, they've got great things for me today. Might not be everything that my mind wants, but I know they're going to do me good today. And so children have this expectation. They don't walk around saying, I'm not good enough. They don't love me. They just expect you to love them and to bless them. That's a good attitude, to be like with God. I expect him to love me and bless me, because he does. The truth is he loves me, but I expect him to bless me. And so we're free from shame or guilt or I don't deserve. Because God says, I want to give you the faith that will give you the answers to these issues and these problems. I want to give you faith so that your friends get healed. Amen. I want you to give you faith so that your neighbors will get totally changed by your prayer life. Your family will be saved because God will give you faith. Hello? Faith comes first. Receiving faith. Jesus made it clear it's faith we need before we see the miracles. Now, in Mark's Gospel, turn here to another little teaching session from Jesus. May the Lord give you the grace to keep awake and hear, so that you can get everything God wants to give you today. Because he's got good things for you today. And every day. God's never in a bad mood, I've heard it said, and I agree. Not with his children, he's not in a bad mood with us. Amen. Mark 11 and verse... Well, we'll start at verse 12 because it makes sense of the story. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree and leaf, he went out to find it if it had any fruit on it. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. Jesus then went on to the temple where he was unhappy about what was going on in there because they were in the house of God for their own kind of benefit and commercialism. Business was becoming the priority, not prayer. And the church of Jesus Christ, when we meet together, we're not here to deal in business. We're here for prayer and for the word and for spiritual things, for God, actually, to speak to us. And so he turned the tables. He showed that actually he's here to correct the things that go wrong in his church, in his temple. And then in verse 20, they are coming past the fig tree that Jesus had done something strange to the day before and spoken to. And it doesn't make sense that words, doesn't make sense to your mind that words transform the earth. But it's the truth. God's word changes everything. It has the power of God behind it. And so in the morning, verse 20, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. And Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." Now, Jesus didn't want to just show his power off. Going, "Isn't it cool? Look what I can do. Aren't I cool? I can change a tree." He's not here for kind of a show. Everything Jesus does, he does because of purpose. He's got a purpose. He's got a lesson he wants to teach his disciples. And the lesson he wants to teach is in verse 22. Have, and I want to speak it like it's written in the original Greek, because sometimes the Bible translation isn't giving you the right message. The original Greek says, "Have the faith that comes from God." Not try and work up faith yourself. "Have the faith that comes from God," Jesus answered. And he said, "I tell you the truth, that if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will happen, then it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it, and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins." Jesus made it really clear that where they'd failed before, they could actually succeed in the future. Amen. Whatever you fail for before, you can actually succeed. Amen. If you've prayed for somebody with a headache and they didn't get healed, you can heal headaches. If you've prayed for somebody on their deathbed and they didn't get healed, you can pray for somebody on their deathbed and they'll get healed. And the issue is, have the faith that comes from God. Amen. So it doesn't come from what you currently have. It comes currently from God. It comes to you. Now, that means God is wanting to give it. We need to just be receiving it. You see, people go around with confessions, the confession of our faith, and I believe that that is all part of the victory, that we speak faith. But if we speak and confess without faith, we can't move a molehill, let alone a mountain. No, nothing will shift because we didn't start with faith. Before we spoke. And so faith comes before we move the mountain. I believe in confession, but I believe in the confession of faith. Jesus finishes this teaching with this If anybody has anything against anyone, let him forgive, because otherwise your Father won't forgive you. Now, what's he saying? If you have unforgiveness in your heart or life towards anyone, in your current life or in your history, if there is unforgiveness in your heart, you don't have room to receive the life of faith that God wants to give you. If you have a bitter spirit, you have a resentment. Every time you see that person, you go, whoa, you know what they did to me? You haven't forgiven them. It is essential because of how Jesus freely forgave us when we didn't deserve it. We didn't do right, but Jesus forgave us. It is essential you and I forgive on the basis of choosing to say, Father, I forgive them. It's amazing how unforgiveness can block your receiving faith and therefore your answered prayer. So you're a fool to not forgive. It actually will benefit you if you forgive. Now, forgiveness can range from they didn't say hello when I walked in, to somebody doing something to somebody you love very much, so damaging that it takes God's grace to forgive. But forgive we must. Any spiritual leaders that you have resentment in your heart, myself included, forgive. Anything somebody didn't do because you thought they should. Has anybody tried that one? I've done that one. Well, I'd have thought they'd have been there. Forgive. You see, we've got to clear the room, clear the way for miracles. And forgiveness cleans up your heart. To be able to say, Lord, I want to receive faith. It's amazing that Jesus is talking about mountains and forgiveness, because they are linked. They're part of his teaching on seeing miracles happen and answered prayer. So, once we've dealt with unforgiveness and resentment by saying, Lord, I choose to forgive. Help me to just continue to pray for my enemies, to bless those who hurt me, to actually want to just turn it around for blessing. Then we are ready to receive the faith that God wants to give us. Now, we know Hebrews 12, 2. I'm sure a lot of you could quote it off by heart. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. So that means receiving faith won't come from anyone else but Jesus. Yes? Looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Now we know that faith comes from a word from God. That the Bible is a book through which God speaks. But not everybody hears God speak through his word. Some can read it, but if you hear his voice, Jesus will speak to you through his word. He will also speak to you in your heart. You'll hear his voice say, this is what I want you to receive. This is what I want you to believe. He'll minister a scripture to you. He will give you a vision. He will communicate to you, but you will be receiving communication from Jesus. Come to Jesus. Look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the source of our faith. He is the source. Now, if you remember on Wednesday night, this is really part two of we had a powerful night, an amazing night here on Wednesday night. And Pastor Andrea said to me this morning when she rang saying she was praying for us, she said, I couldn't stay there till midnight. God was just so tangibly working. This is really part two. And on Wednesday night, I used an illustration of a Christian being like a tree. And the tree, and a normal tree, and a healthy tree, particularly in summertime or in the right season, you'll see the leaves, you'll see the fruit. If it's an apple tree, you'll see apples on it. You know, when I drive past Sheppy's Cider, when I come in, I've just seen they've pruned the trees, but they're going to produce. I know that fruit's coming. So, you know, we see that a tree has leaves, fruit, branches, trunk. And we also know, because we've studied it and we've pulled some things out of the ground, that they have roots. And we know that life is taken up into the roots. Now, the roots don't make the life. The roots draw in the life. They draw in the nourishment and the water that is required for that plant to grow and produce the fruit. And just like a tree, you have been designed to, in the unseen place in your heart, with faith, draw on Christ. Draw up everything you need from him. Christ is your life. He is the life. We don't manufacture the life. We receive his life. And we draw up from him. And we draw up through his word. And the tree, you know, can we know that the tree cannot produce if its roots are in the air. Okay, so just imagine me, I'm a tree this morning. Okay, here's my branches looking good. A bit trunkish. Overcoming. Dieting. But imagine, here comes my roots and they're up in the air. Okay? So, what's going to happen? I can confess all day long, I'm going to have apples. I'm going to have apples. There will be apples on my tree. But you'll know, because the roots aren't receiving the life, there will be no apples. I can confess it all day long. But there will be no fruit. Because the roots aren't receiving what is needed for the fruit. See, confession works to release the power of God when you've received it. But first we receive the faith we need. And Jesus is the author of our faith. I'm going to finish with this. And I know it's a long teaching word this morning, but I don't care, because Jesus wants you to get this. So turn to John 4. See, in this generation, we're so fixed on quick, fast solutions. And sometimes teaching has to go on a little bit longer than kind of like you get at a movie, all the entertainment and all the show, because this is God's way of his word being sown into your heart so that you can come into every good thing that Jesus has for you. And so we can't apologize for not being entertaining. And I, you know, I have sought the Lord for this, and I love it when people are hungry, because he fills the hungry with good things. But the rich and the sleepy go away empty. So it's what happens. You know, people who are hungry can draw from what God is speaking. So let's just take a little bit longer and just go through this fantastic miracle from John chapter 4 and verse 46. Once more, Jesus visited Cana in Galilee, where he turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. And when this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come to heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you'll never believe. See, Jesus is always looking for faith first. That's all that he's saying. He's not saying I don't want to do it. He's saying, I want you to believe. I need to work with faith. Verse 49, the royal official said, Sir, come down before my child dies. And Jesus replied, You may go, your son will live. And the man took Jesus at his word and departed. And while he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that this boy was living. And when he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, The fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour. Then the father realized that this was the exact time which Jesus had said to him. Who said it? Jesus. Jesus had said to who? To the man. Not the man who received the miracle, like physical miracle himself, for his boy. The man received, the boy got healed. That's why we can receive things for people who aren't even here. Your son will live. That's when he got healed, when Jesus had said to him, your son will live. When Jesus had said to him, your son will live. Not, oh, I'm so glad you came. He gave him what he was going to do. Gave him the promise, your son will live. And the man actually came to saving faith. He believed for a miracle for his son, but actually then I think he got born again. Because it says, so he and all his household believed that Jesus actually was the Son of God. I believe they believed that he was who he really was. Now let's just unpack this quickly, because we're going to finish with understanding faith today. Really understanding how to receive faith. Come to Jesus. That's the first thing the man did. He heard Jesus was somewhere and he traveled, and it was at least, well, I don't know, 6 hours, 7 hours to get to Jesus. He walked for 7 hours to get to Jesus. He made a journey to get to Jesus. He had to leave his dying son. He had to leave the problem. You have to leave behind the things that trouble you and come to Jesus and lay your burdens, your pleas, your requests at his feet. Come to Jesus. He went to Jesus. It was a journey he never regretted. And coming to Jesus will be a journey you will never regret. You will never ever regret drawing near to him. Because he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The danger is, we come, I want a word. I want something prophetic. I want somebody just to lay hands. I want money. I want provision. I want a job. But sometimes we're missing the first thing to do. Because if Jesus is the author of faith, we must come to him. And as we heard in the prayer meeting, we draw near by faith. He is here now. He can give you faith now. If you come to him, he can give you everything that you will need to get the answers and the miracles you're seeking. But we mustn't seek the healing. We must seek the healer. We mustn't seek the money or the job. We must seek him. Because he will authorize faith. I'll never forget a few years ago now, you probably, a lot of you have heard this testimony, but a nephew of mine who isn't here today, because one is, and he was very seriously ill in hospital. I'd visited him, and he had anorexia, and very dangerously ill. He was on a drip. It was very sad to go and see him. And of course the family, the parents, the trauma that goes on in parents when their children are ill and they can't seemingly do anything to change it. The doctors couldn't do anything. And I remember, it was actually before I came here to on a Sunday morning, and I don't know, I'd been praying about, you know, God doing a miracle for Edward, and I just kept praying and asking the Lord, Lord, you know, do something, do a miracle. I kept coming to Jesus. Lord, I don't know what to say, but I just know that you can help. Sometimes, you know, we just need to ask for help, and then what he gives us is the help. And I was kind of walking around praying before I always do before I come in on a Sunday morning. I'm going to get up really early, but this is my last prayer before I get in the car, pacing up and down with my Bible, just saying, thank you, Lord. And without Edward on my mind, the Lord said from Isaiah 60, he reminded me, he gave me that scripture in my heart. Neither wasting nor destruction will be in your borders, but you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. Now to you, that might not mean anything, but to me, I knew that God had given me faith for Edward, that he wouldn't waste anymore. His body had wasted to almost nothing. It was a desperate situation. And I received it because he gave me the faith. And from that moment on, I said, Lord, thanks. He will not waste anymore. I came home, I hadn't thought about it. Came home, preached, ministered. We had time together. Went home in the afternoon, I had a phone call. And my brother rang and said, he turned a corner this morning. Something happened. The miracle happened. But where did the miracle happen? In my heart. Because God spoke to me. I received faith. And it was his written word, but his spirit breathed that. Well, I wasn't reading that. It just breathed. I'd put that in years ago when I've been praying the word. But God gave me that word. It was like, yeah, it's done. And he's healthy now, isn't he? Completely healed. He just went from strength to strength, and he's completely well. With this building, I didn't have faith. I liked it. Pastor Andrew and I wanted it. But there's no point liking and wanting. You've got to believe. Otherwise, it's not faith to see money come in. Hello? And so we came to Jesus. I came to Jesus. And every morning I'm like, Lord, is this, we're going ahead with this, but I'm moving. But Lord, is this you? Is this you? And I came to 2 Chronicles. When David went onto this threshing floor, it was a commercial place. It used to be a business. It used to be in working in the community. And God says, this is the place I want you to buy. He told me to pay 600 for it, which to me meant 600,000, not the 695 they'd asked for. He told me what to pay for it, and that it would be the center of worship that would cause a stopping of the plague in this region. But I didn't have faith until I had that, until he spoke his word to me. And then when we took an offering, I mean, with gift aid, 200 grand came in an offering from a slot. Don't you reckon that? Yes. Praise the Lord. What a miracle. And they said yes to 600,000. They said yes to the planning. We went ahead with doing the stripping out the top for the worship hall. We just kept going, didn't we, Si? We just kept going. We just keep moving. We didn't have planning for the stairs. That happened this week. We needed a fire exit. Otherwise, we'd never be able to meet on the top floor. We live by faith. But it's by faith that he gives. We must learn the lesson and learn it really well. That if we will come to Jesus, lay down our burdens, he will give us the faith we need. Don't struggle trying to find solutions. Don't struggle with trying to work out how something's going to happen. Come to Jesus. He will give you the faith that you need. And you will see mountains moved and answered prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Amen. Shall we stand? Thank you, Jesus.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186. Or overseas visitors, 0044 1823 664 186. or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.